Turn your Bibles, if you will. We're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Book of Acts, chapter 4. And as you're turning there, did you hear the one about the broken pencil? Never mind, it's pointless. A man called 911, and he said, "Send an ambulance quick. My wife is going into labor." The emergency operator, she said, "Sir, please stay calm. Is this your first child?" He said, "No, this is her husband." Amen. This morning I want to talk about because he lives. Think of all the great religious leaders throughout history. Whether it be Muhammad, Brigham Young, or Buddha. All the world's great religious leaders, they all have one thing in common. Anybody know what that is? They're all dead. Right? They're all dead. Hallelujah, Christianity is not a religion. Amen? Religion is man's attempt. It's our attempt to gain God's favor. Religion is our attempt to get our way into heaven. But Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he stands head and shoulders above all the others. He stands head and shoulders above every religious leader. Why? Because his tomb is empty and he is alive forevermore. Now, last week I mentioned the world's greatest escape artist, right? Harry Houdini. When you think of an escape artist, no doubt the name Harry Houdini comes to mind. And it was said of Harry Houdini, he could escape everything except your memory. They locked him in metal cages and welded them shut. They buried him in locked coffins. They shackled him underwater. And he escaped every single time. But in 1926, there came a day when Harry Houdini found the one thing that he could not escape, and that was death. Praise God, there is one who did. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked out of that tomb victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And this morning, I want us to consider some of those resurrection truths. And let's pick up in the book of Acts, chapter 4. We'll start right at verse 1. Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, they're talking about Peter and John. As Peter and John spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. These were the religious leaders of the day. And they, being greatly disturbed that they, Peter and John, taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Amen? 5,000. And the first truth I want us to see, because Jesus lives, his persecution continues. His persecution continues. As we read this passage, on the surface, it appears as though the disciples that Peter and John are the ones that are being persecuted. But in reality, it's Christ. Jesus is the one who's being persecuted. If we backtrack a little bit, if we dig a little bit deeper into the previous chapter, we're going to see that the disciples were being attacked for performing a miracle. But I want you to notice that Peter refuses to take credit for that miracle. Let's back up into Acts chapter 3, verse 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and greatly they were amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. He said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Now skip back to chapter 4, verse 10. Peter said, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Do you see what's happening here? A man who was lame from birth was miraculously healed. And those religious leaders, they didn't like it one bit. Why? Well, the reason is because the people started to follow Jesus. And they hated it. They thought they were done with Christ. They thought Jesus was through. But now this lame man, he's healed, and Peter says, "Look, we didn't do it. It was Jesus who healed this man." So when they persecuted the disciples, they were really persecuting Christ. The disciples were just the hands and the feet. Brother read about the body of Christ. Amen? They were just the hands and feet, just like we are. You see, Jesus' new body is the church, you and I. We are his hands and his feet. And when Jesus, or when the church is persecuted, that means Jesus is being persecuted. Jesus is not dead, he's alive. Why? You cannot persecute a dead man, amen? What good would it do? And because he lives, his persecution continues through us. And if we love and we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, this world will turn on us, and they will persecute us for his name's sake. Look at 2 Timothy 3:12. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, does it say might be? Possibly? Absolutely not. It says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Amen? If you're not being persecuted for Jesus' sake, it's not something to brag about. Amen? Lack of persecution today does not mean that the world is getting churchy. It means that the church is getting worldly. Amen? Because he lives, his persecution continues. Second resurrection truth. Because Jesus lives, his preaching also convinces. Let's go back to our original text in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 3 again. And they, the religious leaders, they laid hands upon Peter and John and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Friends, that is a pastor's dream, to preach the word of God and 5,000 come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. But I want you to think about this for a second. What do we know about Peter and John? These men were unlearned. They were uneducated. They were never taught in the word of, or they were never taught, you know, in the synagogues. Unlearned men, fishermen. How did these unlearned and uneducated men preach a message that changed the lives of 5,000 people? How? Because Jesus lives. Amen. That's how. They didn't rely on their own ability to speak eloquently, you know, and draft that perfect and logical sermon. They relied on the living Christ inside of them. That's how they were able to do it. See, we need to understand something. Whatever I or anyone else can talk you into, somebody else can talk you out of. Amen. It's not about talking you into believing. It's not about selling you an eloquent sermon. You see, we don't talk about a dead Christ of history, amen? We preach about the living Christ of eternity. That's what it's all about. I could not possibly talk you into believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to this. If 11 apostles who had seen him and heard him with their own eyes, they could not convince the apostle Thomas that Jesus was alive. Amen? Jesus, when he appeared to the 11 apostles, Thomas wasn't there, and he appeared to them after his resurrection. And they saw him, and they touched him, and they heard him. They talked with him. And then the next time they saw Thomas, they said, Thomas, guess who we saw? We touched him. We heard him. Did Thomas believe him? Not one bit. So how could I or you just convince somebody that Jesus is alive? We couldn't. What convinced Thomas? He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what we all must have. We need an encounter with the living Savior. Not with the church. Not with music, Christian music. Not with a pastor. Amen? We need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ by a step of faith. And this is exactly what that 5,000 did. And their lives were changed forever. Other leaders, they come and go, don't they? Anyone heard of the communist Russian leader, Vladimir Lenin, right? We've heard of Vladimir Lenin. Does anyone know what's on his tomb? Let me read it to you. It says, he was the leader of all peoples, of all countries, and of all times. He was the Savior of the world. Did you note the key word in his epitaph, though? The key word is was, exactly right, past tense. He was the Savior of the world. Now contrast that with Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. The only was that applies to Jesus Christ is that he was dead, but now he is alive, and he's alive forevermore. Amen. And he alone is the one who holds the keys of hell and death. He is the risen Savior. But it's not by my ability or any other pastor's ability that you believe. It's only with that encounter with the living Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are convinced. Amen. The third resurrection truth, because Jesus lives, his power confronts. Now think about in our passage here in Acts chapter 4. These religious leaders, they thought that they were done with this Jesus guy, didn't they? They put him in a tomb and they put a seal on it. They celebrated, it is finished. They actually celebrated, he is finished. But that's not what he said, did he? He said, it is finished. Our redemption is finished. They mocked him as he was nailed to that cross. And they said, if you are the Son of God, come down from there. You see, they asked him the wrong question. They should have stood in front of his tomb and said, if you are the Son of God, come out of there. Amen? Romans chapter 1. We looked at this last week, skipping down to verse 3 and 4. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, he took on human flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power. How? According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Did you catch that? How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? How do we know that He is God in the flesh? The Bible tells us by the power, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is alive and He's on the loose. Praise God. Amen. And this is what Peter confronted them with. Look at verse 10. Peter said, "Let it be known to all of you. Let it be known to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole." Peter said, "Let it be known." He said, "Make no mistake about it. This same Jesus whom you crucified is the same Jesus who healed this man." They were confronted with the power of the living Christ. And so are we. Amen? His power confronts us each and every day. Whether it be the power of His creation all around us. Amen? Or the power of the gospel truth. Because Jesus lives, His power confronts us every single day. But the most important question is, have you submitted to it? Amen? Have you submitted to the power of Christ? The fourth resurrection truth, because He lives, His presence compels. Skip down to verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus." These religious leaders realized that these disciples had been in Jesus' presence. Why? Because of the boldness of their preaching, plain and simple. Now, we have to put it into context here. Who was preaching? It was Peter and John, right? Think back. It wasn't that long ago when Peter was in a whole different situation, wasn't it? It wasn't that long ago that Peter, he caved and he shrunk before that lady in the courtyard. He cursed and he swore and he denied even knowing Jesus three times. But since then, he had seen the living and risen Christ. And now you can't shut him up. You couldn't shut him up from telling anyone that would listen that he now knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? And when we are in the presence of our risen Lord and Savior, something happens to us as well. You know, it's like taking a piece of iron and putting it into a raging hot fire. What happens to that piece of iron? It begins to glow and turn orange, doesn't it? Why? Because not only did we put the iron into that fire, but that fire got into that iron. Amen? And this is exactly what happens to us when we stand in His presence. His fire gets into us and we begin to speak and to tell others about Him with boldness. Amen? So what is that boldness? The Bible talked about that boldness that they preached with. Well, that boldness is simply knowing without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is alive. Amen? That He is alive. If we truly believe with all of our heart that Jesus walked out of that grave, then what on this earth could ever intimidate us? Amen? That's why we can speak with boldness. And this is exactly what Peter and John knew. And everyone took notice. Amen? They knew that they had been with Jesus Christ. And our nation, our community, We need a fresh dose of this Bible boldness. And how do we get it? Spending time with our Lord Jesus Christ and spending time in His Word. Amen? Just like that iron in that fire, we need to get into His Word until it gets into us. Amen? Get into His presence. Because He lives, His presence compels us. The last resurrection truth I want us to see here, because Jesus lives, His people confess. Amen? Skip down to verse 14. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name, the name of Jesus." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So these religious leaders, they didn't want the message of the living Christ to go out. So what do? They threaten Peter and John and they tell them, "Look, you can no longer preach in the name of Christ. You can't let this message go out." Why? Because of the power in that message. Amen? It was like telling the sun not to shine to tell these two men in the presence of their Lord, filled with boldness, not to preach what they had seen and what they had heard and their encounter with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. They had to confess what they had seen and what they heard. And this is exactly what a born-again witness does. Amen? So why don't more Christians witness? Because they haven't seen anything lately. They haven't heard anything lately. They haven't been in the presence, been in His Word lately. Because if you had, you cannot help but to tell others about it. Amen. You see, these early Christians, they didn't sit back and wait for a preacher. They didn't sit back and wait for an evangelist to speak about the risen Savior. They just went out and did it themselves. Amen. Now, I'm not against preachers, obviously. I'm not against evangelists. But what I'm saying is they didn't wait for someone else to do it. They went out and they confessed and they witnessed the risen Lord. And what happened? They turned the world upside down. Amen. They did so much with so little, and yet we do so little with so much. Jesus is alive and we need to celebrate it to the world. We need to settle it in our heart. And we need to tell it to whoever will listen. We need to get in His presence and let His fire get inside of us. Amen. And go and take it from the seats to the streets. That is our calling in Christ.